Bruchim Aboyim to the second in the series of Shi'urim on the section of the guide, the Mer Nevuchim, which deal with the Tamei Mitzvahs, the Rambam's rational basis and reasons for the commandments. This is the second Shi'ur. Last time we began chapter 25, which in fact actually is the opening chapter in which he discusses these issues. And the Rambam was speaking about the fact that acts of God necessarily cannot be understood to be acts which are, in fact, shav, or done for no reason, or in any way have no purpose, but rather we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever he acts something, there is a rational reason for him doing so. The Rambam, where we left off with last time, this is in page 510, the second paragraph of the Schwartz edition, the Rambam somehow had to square this with a belief of his, which he states in chapter 13 of the third section. This is chapter 25 of the third section. But in chapter 13 of the third section, the Rambam says that a person cannot acquire as to what is the general purpose of creation, meaning that we can't say that God created the world for any specific, you know, there was no rational reason underlying the creation of the world. He just created because he wanted to create the world. It's just pure will. So says the Rambam, how do we square this with the fact that we're saying that an act of God has to have a rational basis for it? So the Rambam basically distinguishes between overall creation and between individual acts of creation. In other words, when we look at the entirety of the act of creation, then that can only be explained based upon the will of God with no rational motive, Nonetheless, when we speak about specific parts of the created world, then certainly we can, we're forced to say, right, and I'm going to say we're forced to say that there's always a rational reason underlying the creative act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's, the fact is that last time, I linked this. This is a funny thing to say on the internet, but I actually made the connection between this and between what we spoke about in detail in the series of lectures on the part of the Meir Nevuchim regarding the creation of the world. You're invited to listen to that on this same on the same site. And there we understood that the Rambam inherently did not understand that creation ex nihilo and the turning of the world was a contradiction. There were two ways of looking at the world. And if I could either look at the world from the notion of will, of free will, which is creation ex nihilo, and I can look at the world from a scientific objective point of view, and there I have to, I have no recourse but to understand things in a rational manner. In other words, the universe is rational, right, only if I understand that God has a reason underlying creation, which in fact is connected with the concept of eternity, because there has to be a reason before the act of creation. In other words, reason, rationale, preceding creation, implies ipso facto a notion of eternity. Whereas free will assumes that there's no underlying reasoning, there's an absolute free will, which is expressed by the person, and that's connected with the notion of creation ex nihilo. So the Rambam brought into both aspects and dimensions of God, the act of creation ex nihilo, implying that God has free will and therefore man has free will, because man cannot possess free will if God doesn't possess free will. On the other hand, though, man has the ability to intellectually apprehend the universe, to understand the underlying reason and scientific logic of creation. And therefore, because of that, creation ex nihilo and eternal universe are not a contradiction, but rather there are two dimensions, two ways in which we both relate to the world and to God. That was the conclusion that came out several times in the in our discussion of the Rambam's theory of creation. Here too, we have you would call Ke'en. Yeah,
I know this is Chazara, but could Rabbi Trubitz just clarify why human free will is connected to God's free will? Why can I not have one without the other?
In other words, well, God. In other words, if God doesn't have free will, that means God has to toe the line to some type of scientific determinism. The concept of the eternal universe is God is constrained by scientific principles. If God is constrained, so moreover, kal v'chaymer, is man constrained? In other words, the eternity of the world means that God himself is a prisoner of scientific determinism, of natural law. If God is a prisoner of natural law, then God who creates a man certainly, right, creates something that's a prisoner of natural law. This is the transitive law, a prisoner of natural law.
Does that mean that any scientist who believes in the eternity of the universe and the laws of physics necessarily denies free will?
Well, he's not. If the scientist believes in another dimension, in other words, a scientist might believe there's something called free will, which is linked with consciousness and free will. But the free will, by definition, cannot be, in other words, grounded in a scientific theory. In other words, there are scientists, for example, who believe that man ultimately doesn't have free will. That these are, people who believe in, let's say, artificial intelligence. Or, for example, the physicist, I forget his name, wants to place free will within quantum mechanics. The famous physicist, Twister theory, whatever it is. Anyway, he wrote a book on that. That's not a theory of free will. Even at the Kuzari, it's clear, eternity of the universe being God holds the will to scientific law, to natural law, and therefore certainly anything which he creates also has to toe the will, toe the line to natural law. Man, by definition, can have free will. The only way man can have free will is if, in other words, there has to be some type of a creative act which begins the universe. There has to be the existence of something which is independent of scientific determinism, and that would be the source for man's free will. It's fine? Okay, fine. Now, by the way, that we're going to see a little bit we've already seen in this chapter. In other words, if God, what is the link with free will? What is the link with the eternity of the universe and God's acts having a rational explanation? In other words, the question is: does God create based upon a rational basis? If that's true, the rational basis precedes creation. That's the point. In other words, if a rational basis precedes creation, then the world's eternal. What creation ex nihilo means, nothing can precede creation, including a rational basis. If a rational basis precedes creation, then by definition, the world's eternal. The eternity doesn't necessarily have to be created matter, but is the rational basis. This is like people, for a number of years, wanted to claim that the Big Bang, the discovery of the Big Bang, in fact, actually was the proof that God created the world in a biblical sense in creation ex nihilo. And first of all, whoever would say that, in my opinion, A, knows nothing about the Big Bang, and B, knows nothing about creation ex nihilo. It means he's basically struck out both in science and theology. Why is that true? Because the whole notion of creation ex nihilo means that there is no a priori rational basis which describes creation. The Big Bang is a scientific theory. You begin with Einstein's equations of gravity, right? And then there's a singularity, which is the Big Bang. So before the Big Bang, there are Einstein's equations. So for sure, the Big Bang cannot be creation ex nihilo by definition. The rabbi would laugh at you. That's number one. Number two, so in other words, it basically means the person speaks about the Big Bang, whatever it is. The physicists today don't even believe in the Big Bang in that sense. In other words, today, not only is there time before the Big Bang, that's for the last 10 years they believe that, but actually the latest physical theories actually assert that actually the universe is eternal. And in fact, actually, like every time now and then, like the two universes basically hit together and you get a Big Bang. So whoever became from the Big Bang, I don't want to be Maxwell Yubashela, but you might have to...
No, but they have an answer for that, it's okay.
Fine, right, okay, yeah.
Does this definition of the eternity of the universe, this is clearly Rambam's opinion. Is Ori Shalom hold this is what the definition of Kadmus Olam?
What do you mean?
If I believe in any kind of scientific theory, then that means I hold from Kadmus Olam.
That would seem to me. It would seem to me that, in other words, that the Kadmus. Look at the Kuzari, for example. If you look at the Kuzari in the opening of the Kuzari, the philosopher comes in front of the king, And the philosopher presents a notion of katalus, and there he basically claims that things are totally determined. In other words, all of history is determined. In other words, if you look at the Kuzri very clearly, he identifies the belief in eternity with the belief in the scientific determinism of a man, and that if a man does not have the free will, but rather is a product of scientific determinism.
But the belief in the Big Bang is not necessarily a belief in determinism.
No, the belief in the Big Bang, no, that's not true. You got that right. In other words, according to Rambam, there is no contradiction. I mean, the way we're understanding it, no contradiction in belief. In other words, I could believe eternity if I study the universe scientifically. I always take an eternal point of view. But like we said before, the Rambam understood that actually there's an irreducible dichotomy. In other words, there are two dimensions of reality. This man, when he looks objectively at the world, tries to understand the world rationally, and this man as he relates to God. Man as he relates to God, right, relates to God through creation ex nihilo. That's man's freedom. In other words, the Rambam understood both. I mean, that's the way we explain the contradictions of the Megillah Nevuchim, the God for the perplexed. In other words, the Rambam understood that there is, in fact, actually no real debate or no conflict between the two points of view. The two points of views are absolutely necessary. Now, this stemmed, as we spoke about it, because we know the Rambam is proof of the incorporeality of God. It is in proof of the incorporeality of God, made as his 26th century in Gematria Yud Kei Vav Kei, that in fact the world is Kadmon, the world is eternal. So, in other words, it would come out according to that proof that if I believe the world wasn't eternal, then I believe that God has a body, which would actually, according to the Rambam, I would actually be a pagan, a min. So, in other words, according to the Rambam, in order to uphold both beliefs, namely the belief in the creation ex nihilo and also in the incorporeality of God, I'm forced to assert the dual coexistence of both the eternity of the world and also creation ex nihilo. The fact is that this is an irreducible dichotomy, which is part and parcel of lo yireh ani adam v'chai, no one can see my face and live. And this is actually one of the contradictions that the Rambam alludes to in his introduction to the guide. Okay, so in other words, this, which the Rambam is speaking about here, is analogous to this contradiction between looking at the world scientifically with a rational basis and looking at the overall creation of the world. Either way, now you should know something. We can't say this duality is the same as duality I've been speaking about up till now between creation ex nihilo and eternity, only because the Rambam does say in chapter 13 that the world has no overall purpose whether you believe eternity, whether you believe in creation ex nihilo. The Rambam does unlink the two issues. But in other words, this way of understanding things in a dual perspective, right, certainly has precedent in the entire Megillah Nevuchim. Okay? Okay, fine. In the Kabbalistic language, you might call this mitzidoy and mitzidenu, right? Wait for Thursday. In other words, there's the God side and the man side. In other words, basically, the Rambam, of course, certainly doesn't give expression to this concept, but by virtue of the conservation of philosophical and theological concepts, we have to say that there has to be some sort of a Maimonidean version of the mitzido mitzidenu dichotomy, and I'm identifying that as such, and this understanding of the Megillah Nevuchim. Okay, let's go further. Now, the fact is that the Rambam goes on and says that after we've established that God's acts cannot be wanton, they cannot be random, they have to be premeditated, they have to have a rational basis, so the Rambam says there are, though, however, there are verses which seem to understand that God creates the world not with premeditated rationale, but rather through will. So the Rambam says, I'm now in the third paragraph of the Swatch edition, page 510, okay. Yesh onam etzleinu kama ksuvim. Says the Rambam, there are actually several passages, scriptural passages. Sha'apshat shalahem goyen b'chira rishon l'damos inyan zeh. That a person might think, right, at first thought, to compare it to what we're speaking about. Kagoyen, Daboy, for example, it says in Tehillim, "Kol asher chafetz Hashem osa b'shamayim va'oz b'yamim v'chol tahimais." Right, everything God wanted to do, He does, and also too another pasuk in Iyov in Job, "Benafshoy ifsa v'yaz." He desired and He created. We're going dibroy biyomelo matase. You know, who's going to tell you what you've done? Which means, I can't explain. You don't do things for a reason. You just do things. No one could you know. Who's going to say, you know, there's no way I can predict what you're going to do. You're not going to do anything with a rational basis. That's how I understand the raya, the proof. Okay. Mashmos aksuvim, you have two out of three. Mashmos aksuvim, a'ela, right? Ukiyetzebem, shadvam, it was bi yoim alai. In other words, who's going to understand what you're going to do? That's the pshat in the pasuk. You know, that, and I'm not going to tell you what you're going to do. In other words, there's no human rationale which could explain what God does. That's how the Rambam was learning in Ecclesiastes and Koheles. Mashmos aksuvim be'elum. What do these verses mean? Kiyetzebem, shadvam, asher, oisim loitzakil nasim behechrech. Says the Rambam, right? All the Pesukim is saying is whatever God wants to do, he can do. It doesn't mean he does things only because he wants to do it. All these Pesukim is saying that there's no barrier between what God wants to do. This reminds me of a famous Ramban, the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. I have to always mention this. The Ramban says, there's no nature. And everybody says, there's no nature. The Ramban, everything's an illusion. All the world's an illusion. The Ramban is not saying this. Any intelligent person who knows anything about the Ramban knows that the Ramban repeatedly through Chumash asserts the scientific reality of the world. I mean, look at how he understands the keshes and the bliss of the rainbow. What the Ramban says is no nature. What he means, if you really know how to learn a Ramban, just don't read one line and, you know, after that, you know, create like a Dirac delta function at one point, then, in fact, what the Ramban means there clearly is that nature is not an obstacle if a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to do a miracle. It means that the Teva is not going to be an obstacle. But it doesn't mean, according to the Ramban, that there's no Teva. What that means? It means there's no... In other words,
potentially.
Right, that's what I'm saying. In other words, what the Ramban is saying is there's no Teva. In other words, there's no Teva which is an obstacle to God. If God decides he wants to do something, he wants to make Kriyas Yamsuf. So, there's no Teva as far as he's concerned. But what? Certainly, there's a world of Teva. There's a world of Teva. Why is the Rambam forced to learn the rainbow, the Keshet, the way he learns? Why does the Rambam say that there are certain people who have to go to a doctor? According to the Rambam, no, she won't go to a doctor. There's no Teva. In other words, the Ramban admits his Teva. So the Rambam is actually explaining this Pesukim in the following way. The Pesukim doesn't mean that God doesn't do things with a rational reason. It just means once God decides to do something, for whatever reason he decides to do it, then what? Then for sure, there's not going to be an obstacle to what he does. In other words, reason and rotzen are not a steal, are not a contradiction as far as the Kodesh Baruch Hu is concerned. Aval, goes on the Rambam and says, Hu yis'ala eni reitze ele esav shori, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu for sure will only do something which is possible. The Rambam has said previously in Chelek Beis that Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot do something, for example, Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot make a triangle that's, for example, not 180 degrees. Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot make a square where the diagonal is equal to one of the sides. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not capable of making himself corporal, the Rambam says. In other words, the Greeks wanted to claim he can't make the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the Rambam disagrees on that. But I'm saying, obviously, what I'm saying is, a Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot possibly do something which is impossible. So what the Rambam is saying is that there's nothing in the way of God doing what he wants to do. God will only do something which is possible, which has reason. In other words, what is possible? That which, you know, his God's wisdom, right, declares is possible. But there's nothing, no barrier preventing God from doing what he wants. And of course, what God wants is going to be obviously going to be something which, by definition, his wisdom declares, right, is something, you know, is something which has a rational basis. So you see, das kol ben Torah, the chain das a philosopher. Says the Rambam, not only, this is only theological, philosophical too. In other words, it makes sense from a religious point of view, and it makes sense from a philosophical point of view. From a religious point of view, it makes sense because then you're attributing to God acts of wanton, you know, of wantonness, acts of, you know, which are, in fact, actually make God a little bit, you know, less than we think he is. And it's all depending on the philosophers, because the philosophers understand that there's a rational basis. The philosophers see clearly there's a rational basis which underlines our natural reality. So in other words, on this, in other words, the Ben Torah, the, you know, and the philosopher can agree, right? That was at a time that Ben Torah were assumed to be intelligent. V'chein da'ateinu anu, right, this is our opinion too, says the Rambam. Even though we believe in creation ex nihilo, even though, in other words, for sure, right, if I took the point of view of the right, took the view of the of those who argue, right, al Sharia, right, certainly, in other words, there's no contradiction, but of course they deny science. In other words, says the Rambam, even though we believe that the world was created ex nihilo, everybody agrees, this is unanimous, that God does not create things just purely because of desire. I'm trying to think really what is a analogy of this creation purely by desire. Everybody agrees that there's a premeditated wisdom which accompanies creation, which underlines creation. Even though, says the Rambam, we might not understand the entire wisdom underlying the world, we certainly, Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he creates something, when he acts based upon a certain rationale, a certain wisdom. That's what the Rambam is saying. Now, it's very interesting here that, in other words, he says, Chaim is Metzias ha'olam hazeh b'shleimus u'pehech b'shah shebali de Metzias. In other words, before the world exists, that's creation ex nihilo. But once the world exists, we can assume that there's a rationale. It's very interesting. It's something like a lichatchila and midyevit, a priori and a posteriori. This is actually the two ways in which he looks at this Jerusalem dichotomy. In other words, if I'm looking before creation, right, so therefore it's creation ex nihilo. If looking back at creation, back inwards, of course there's a rationale. It's sort of like a quantum mechanical effect, that somehow when I go to the future, I can redefine the past. I mean, let's not say the Rambam invented quantum mechanics. I know someone's going to probably say this and is going to publish an article saying that the Rambam came before Bohr and Einstein. This is not true. But nonetheless, the fact is that Rambam here is making an analogy which has a quantum mechanical explanation. Namely, that in other words, I can look something before the event, look something after the event. Before the event, I look at it from the standpoint of creation. After the event, I look at the standpoint of rationale. And that's not a contradiction, because creation in and of itself is not something that obviously I can understand. In other words, actually says the Rambam in question two, and that was to resolve this conflict, I have to say that somehow, for some reason, this wisdom which underlined the creation of the world required that the world not exist before it was created. That's a very interesting statement. I'm not sure why he made that. According to what we're explaining is that the statement is a little bit, I'm going to say it's vacuous, but it's not needed. But nonetheless, the Rambam is saying is that somehow there's a logic to creation as dialo and a logic to eternity. There's a logic to this dichotomy too. So here Koheles, Kodesh Baruch Hu made everything very nice at the right time. Obviously, that assigns to God a premeditated rationale for everything was made. Basically, the whole point of this is that Kodesh Baruch Hu did not act without any reason. This is the belief that says the Rambam. I'm now on page 511. This is the belief of Hamoin Chachmei Tenaseinu. In other words, all the Chachmei HaTorah understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world with an underlying rationale. Everything that creates the world, but in fact, everything in existence has an underlying wisdom to it. Rabbu says, "Befulish the Vienu." The Vim say, "Our prophet said, 'Shepratya Ma'isam Ativyim Kulam Shuklalav.'" Everybody agrees that the specific parts of creation are fashioned rationally. They're connected. Each has a reason. There's a reason and an effect. There's not an effect without a reason. Everything has a rhyme and a reason. There's no act that the Rambam explains. There's no act that's done for absolutely no reason. Lo mischak. It's not done for purposes of laughter. Lo levatala. Because one doesn't try to do things and can't do it. They're acts of a tremendous, of a incredible wisdom, like it says, Hashem, how great are your actions? In other words, this is Nevi'im, this is David HaMelech, saying clearly that everything is made with a chachma. Also too, all of his acts are with, here it says with faith, meaning Bemuna means with the Rambam understands Bemuna here being a reason, right? Right? Faith is used with room. Meaning there's a person, if there's a faith, means the faith that there's a reason. In other words, faith that the chokhmah which dictates reality, will in fact express itself properly. Once again, the same thing too. The Rambam brings all these psukim that Hashem creates the world with His wisdom. It says the Rambam, this theme appears many times, it's repeated. Ain't the Rambam, you shouldn't think otherwise. So otherwise, this is from psukim, but gam yuna philosophy, baskala shein dover shav. Not only do we arrive at this on the basis of prophecy, on the basis of revelation, of Ruach HaKodesh, Messiah perhaps, but we also arrive at the conclusion of the basis of philosophy. Certainly, when speaking about the physical world, we say this. How much more so do we say this regarding the Galgalim, which, according to the Rambam, are the epitome of mathematical precision and thought and intellect. The planets are even more precise and mathematical. And of course, in other words, the physical world is a little bit less mathematical. The celestial worlds are more mathematical. As the Rambam explained in chapter 17 of the third section, that according to Aristotle, there's absolute providence on the Galgalim, on the celestial spheres, because they move in perfect mathematical fashion. Whereas in the physical world, things don't operate mathematically, and therefore there's only hashkacha, general providence on the entire species, but hashkacha, not providence on specific members. That has to do with the fact that the Greeks understood that the planets are subject to a mathematical description, whereas things in the physical world are less subject to mathematical description. This is only up to the time of Descartes and Newton that already things began to be described in the terrestrial world according to the laws of mathematics, and of course this changed not only science, but changed philosophy and theology. Somehow God emerged in the world in a much more corporeal fashion. This is the beginning of the Kabbalah, but that's probably another shiur somewhere else. Anyway, fine. Okay, now, the Rambam is going to come back to the Ashira, who believed in fact everything is pure, everything is kreshek sliolo, everything is pure will. In fact, they had a science of atoms. The atoms pop up and pop down. All of the world is an illusion. There's no natural law, right? The entire world is, exists at the precipice of uncertainty, and it can just vanish at any time. So certainly creation ex nihilo becomes a part of, is not an exception, becomes a part of the teva. So says the Rambam, da, sheroiv dimyones hashav. Rambam says, most false illusions. The Rambam, in his attack on the Kalam in the Meirin Levuchim, repeatedly refers to the fact that the Kalam, anything they thought could be, would be. Which means that any way you explain something, you explain something. Who cares if the science is no good? Because you have a pimple. So in other words, the Kalam believed whatever they thought could be, could be. There's no reality that a person has to subject his thinking to. Whatever he thinks there is. That's because nature is uncertain. So it can produce anything a person thinks of. Pop goes the weasel. There, nature produces it. So the Rambam says, da, sheroim dimyonis hashav, most of the false illusions are bevin l'day mevucha. Right? That bring us to confusion, b'vakashas tachlis b'tzias ha'olam, the purpose of all of creation, b'klalasa, in general, u'tachlis kol chenek v'chenek mechalakav, or, for example, the purpose of specific parts of the world, ain mekoyrem ele, okay, like this. In other words, says the Rambam, that why are people confused by this? In other words, people confused by this, in other words, people look for a purpose in entire creation, which the Rambam, as repeatedly says, doesn't exist. But on the other hand, people look for a purpose in creation in specifics, which the Rambam says does exist. So Rambam says, people create different types of fanciful illusions, right? And create purposes which don't exist. The Rambam says, for example, some people say that the tachlis, the purpose of creation, is for man. Chapter 13 says it's ridiculous. Why is it ridiculous? Because they have to say the purpose of man. So why did God want to work for man? So the Rambam basically advances an argument ad infinitum until he comes to the conclusion that even if I say the purpose of creation is for man, once I ask the question, why would God want to create the world for man, I end up But the final conclusion, that, well, because that's what he wanted to do. So in other words, says the Rambam, people who think that God created the world for a specific purpose for man, right, are operating under illusions. Just like the Asherah, who believe that, you know, anything which exists can exist, and therefore there's no reason for God doing things, he just does things what he is, also believe that in specific events, you know, whatever can be. And there's no reason, there's no underlying wisdom or reason dictating what can be, what can't be. So that's also a type of an illusion. Everybody creates illusions. The Rambam said at the very beginning of the negative theology that the essence of thought is to square oneself with what is reality. Das has to be something which a person accepts reality. If you don't accept reality, it's not an illusion, but sheker and illusion are basically two sides of the same coin. So says the Rambam, Ein mekoira, ella betosa adam ba'atzmai, v'dibuya v'shimtzia kulam l'mano b'vav. A person thinks God created the world for himself. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. Now, in other words, the belief that there's a purpose, this is a very difficult part of the guide, that's why I'm going slowly. The belief that all of creation has a tachlis, as a purpose, is the illusion and the mistake, the illusion of man to thinking that everything was made for him. And the belief, I guess, that there's no tachlis, no purpose in specifics, things in the world, comes because you're ignorant in science. A person doesn't understand science, so he says, of course, there's no purpose. Because if you understood science, you understood the Olam HaShofer, if you understood the Tivul of Chaimah, you understand the nature of the terrestrial world, you wouldn't say something like that. You see, obviously, that you know, the world has an underlying natural law. You don't understand the underlying principles. You don't understand the nature of terrestrial physical reality, and you don't understand the underlying, you know, principles. Shahu hivili de mitzia shall call master efsha yimatz. In other words, only things which are possibly can exist will exist. Not everything that I think should exist. Shekena mitzias toiva bli safed. Because this is the concept of toiv. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, as the Rambam's going to say, v'yachakim asha'al savinei toiva oid. That means that there's a purpose in creation. Creation should be good. And of course, good means something which not only is morally good, but ultimately that which is, you know, that ultimately which is based in reason, and that's also called good. B'shal tol zois v'yidiyah shnei inyonim eila, noitzrim sveikas v'vuchas kach, shemadamim shechelek b'maisa kel hem mischak v'chelek shav v'chelek levatola. Because of these two mistakes. Now, what are the two mistakes? The answer is that, in other words, because of the two mistakes, namely, the illusion that God created the world for a specific reason, and because of the mistake that, for example, there's not an underlying logic governing God's acts, so therefore it comes out that God's acts are basically either, you know, acts of mischak, you know, acts of kabbadi, with no purpose, or acts basically for no reason whatsoever, or God is trying to do things and is not, you know, levatala, that he tries to do things and he's not able to do things. Now, what's very interesting is that, in other words, basically they're making fun of God. You know, God is not really serious, or he tries hard but he doesn't succeed, or he's just a comedian. But it's very interesting that the Rambam connects, you know, these two concepts. In other words, because, number one, I want the whole of creation to have man as its purpose. I don't ask myself, well, why would God want, you know, in other words, man is the purpose. And then the concept that, you know, there can't be an underlying reason for civic events in the world, because otherwise the world's eternal. So in other words, the purpose of creation should be man, but the world shouldn't be eternal. If you put those two things together, what do you get? You get a world in which God acts as an idiot. Dash, Ela Asher Kiblu Atzmasim is absurd as that. The stupid, right, opinion. Atche Maisim is Alam Nasu Benayim Me'ein Maisa Shav. God acts stupid, you know, stupidly. He tries to fool man. He creates illusions. He makes the world seem like it's old. He makes the world seem like, you know, it's like this, it's really not like that. There's no purpose in it. No, God puts things in it. He wants to trick people. Right? Because they're so worried that the world's eternal. So basically, God's like a comedian. He puts it in to fool you. Right? He puts here a bone. He puts here this. It's all to fool you. It's all an illusion. God is really like a master, like he's a master magician whose purpose is just to fool man. So what you're doing is, because you want to protect, you know, you want to fend off the belief in the eternal of the world, you make God into an idiot. That's what I'm saying. In other words, who's making fun of God? You're making fun of God. So because of this is, in other words, this is the Asharia. Now the Asharia are so fanatically concerned, lest the person, it's better that God should be an idiot and a comedian than the world be eternal. Gewaldig. Okay, let's go further. What did we say?
There's no more people out there now.
What?
Baruch Hashem, there's no more Sharia now.
That's right, Baruch Hashem. Now, let's go on to the last two paragraphs. After the Rambam has made a very strong argument, then the fact is that he's he writes here two paragraphs of conclusion, which I think are very important. The Rambam's, you know, the Rambam usually is supposed to say whatever he wants to say. He doesn't have to elaborate. Further elaborations of the Rambam are darshani, which means we have to think a little bit deeply what the Rambam wants. Kavar hodati lecha es das terasenu b'inyan zeh. I've already explained to you what the opinion of the Torah is, right? The Rambam claims it's the opinion of the Torah. This is what we have to believe. Shekain ain't absurd, but umreno shmitzusa v'adaram shakol ha'maisim to'em mischach b'sad. There's nothing illogical to say that the existence and non-existence of things in the world basically had to be rooted in some type of a reason, some type of rationale. But ocha anu enenu yodim rabos b'vchinas chach b'maisim. Even though we ourselves, right, might not be alerted, might be aware of all the details of God's wisdom. Nonetheless, we cannot say that there's not an underlying reason, underlying logic, which is very, very important. So the Rambam here repeats this here a second time. I think he explains it in a much more obvious way. In other words, just because a person might be unaware of the reason, underlying aspects, or as we'll see in Mitzvah Shem a little bit later, the details, it doesn't mean that there's not an underlying reason. Al Deya Zois Nivnasa Tera Moshe Rabbeinu Kula. Right? On the basis of this was given the Tera of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what's very, very interesting is, what is the statement? On the basis of this was given the Tera of Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Tera. Who cares? I mean, you know, we can discuss how God created the world or didn't create the world. How God, does God create things with reason, by pure will? But what does it mean with this idea, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah? What is the Rambam saying over here? In my opinion, there's a clear reference here to actually what the Rambam is going to go into in a few chapters, which is actually what's called the Tamei HaMitzvahs. In other words, the Rambam here is speaking about nature. Ultimately, what the Rambam wants to do is say that which we say is true of nature necessarily has to be true of God's commandments. In other words, a command of God is also part an act of God. If a command of God is an act of God, then everything we say about God's act has to apply to his commands. Which meaning is that, and the Rambam is going to repeat this, actually it's going to flash at us, like once a chapter, repeatedly, that what distinguishes Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu is the fact that there's an underlying reason and rationale for the commandments. Meaning,
distinguishes it from what?
With the uniqueness from any other religion. In other words, or from any other point of view. In other words, What the Rambam is saying is that the uniqueness of Torah Moshe Rabbeinu is that the mitzvahs have a rationale. That's the unique part of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very interesting that, I mean, we've spoken about this actually in Nevuah theology, that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is listed, of course, separately in the Yud Gimel Ikrim from the Nevuah, from the prophecy of all the prophets. The prophets, right? And we've spoken about this, and we're going to speak about this continually. In the Rambam's Fundamentals of Faith, Yud Gimel Ikrim, the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is understood to be a consequence or property of pure logic, the pure intellect. A pure intellect. That's the essence of Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam also says, even though he says in the sections of prophecy, he's not going to speak to Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, he does say as, like in a, sort of like in a, an aside point, that Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu only involves the rational intellect and not the imaginative intellect. Meaning that the commandments which are commanded through Moshe Rabbeinu by definition, right, are only channeled through the rational and not the imaginative intellect. So certainly the commandments commanded by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Moses, right, for sure have to have a rational basis, a rational element of them. In other words, the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is God-friendly, is apropos for this concept that God creates the world with underlying rationale, because Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, I mean, his Nevuah, his prophecy, expresses the ultimate in the rational, intellectual aspect of God's commandments. In other words, the Rambam understands that what characterizes the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is that the commandments have bedafka, they specifically have a rational basis. Now, we have discussed in our theology that, in fact, the Rambam says in the Yud Gimel Ikrim that he's going to write a whole book about Moshe Rabbeinu. Where did he write it? Now, maybe he wrote that, he never wrote it. That's hard to say, because we do know historically that the Rambam actually edited and re-edited his Yud Gimel Ikrim even towards the end of his life. In fact, we spoke about that. There are manuscripts because the Rambam actually, changing the Ikrim. It doesn't make sense. The Rambam would have this whole passage and speak about these attempting to write an entire book by Shabeno, and at the end doesn't write it. But what I advance the thesis that in fact the Meir Nevuchim is in fact that book which the Rambam wanted to write about Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, the Meir Nevuchim represents Teras Moshe. And so, in fact, with the Rambam, that's something that we spoke about in detail, Negel theology. The book the Rambam wants to write about the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is the Meir Nevuchim. That's why there's no section of the Meir Nevuchim about Moshe Rabbeinu. And even the section of prophecy which you would expect Moshe Rabbeinu to appear, the Rambam says over several times in a very cryptic way, I'm not going to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu. What the Rambam is telling you is, I'm not going to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu here, because the entire book is Moshe Rabbeinu. So, in fact, this is the ultimate meaning, al das zois nipnas ha-teres Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, what is the teres of Moshe Rabbeinu for the Rambam? The ultimate teres Moshe Rabbeinu is the Tamei HaMitzvahs. The Tamei HaMitzvahs is the teres Moshe Rabbeinu. So what the Rambam is saying is, on the basis of this chapter 25, this philosophical assumption of understanding the world as being an act of creation of God on a rational basis, on the basis of that, we will build the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the Tamei HaMitzvahs. So when the Rambam says, Al Das Zois Nivnasa, is grounded the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, what the Rambam is really saying is, on this philosophical basis, on this understanding of the rational ontology of the world, we're going to construct the Tamei HaMitzvahs. That's what the Rambam is saying. Lufiani is dying.
If this was his book about Moshe Rabbeinu, wouldn't he want to say that?
No. He wouldn't want to say
that. He was a trickster.
He wasn't saying that. Someone might accuse him that he thinks it's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe. But anyway, now, Ba niftacha. And that's how the Torah begins. Or the beginning, not how it begins, but in Baisa Bereishis. Vayahu Elokim is kol asher osa v'hinei tov ma'od. God saw the entire creation, and it was tov ma'od. It was very good. Means that the entire creation is based upon reason. Uva nechtaba, that's how it ends. Hatzur tamim pa'alai. His acts are perfect. Perfection obviously means they're rational. Kela munavein ovel, toy v'yash, sadik v'yashahu. That zois eifel. The rabbi says, you should know this. Wait, you should know this. That's not what I said. And he says, that zois eifel. He's speaking about my writing, reading of the Rambam, reading of the Rain of Vulcan. That's how it begins and that's how it ends, because I'm telling you, so the Rambam, this is the term of Shabbat, what I'm doing right now. Okay. Let's go. So we see that this chapter was not just an ending, but here the Rambam's alluding to really the entire plan of the Meir Nevuchim. In fact, actually, what we really have to spend time is the entire Meir Nevuchim builds up to the Tamei HaMitzvahs. And of course, at the very end of the Meir Nevuchim, the Rambam speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu. The entire Meir Nevuchim is basically the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. And it builds up. And finally at the end, the Rambam speaks about imitating God, which is the true Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Da ze zos eifo. Says the Rambam, take this to heart, understand this. And we did. Yes, it's Hashem. 5:12. Final paragraph. Kasher takoiv acha deazois. If you take heed of this opinion, of this understanding, va'achar hadeya philosophis, in other words, understand this Torah opinion and have to understand this philosophical opinion, as the Rambam says, this is both the philosophy of the Torah and also philosophy. Toich is boinenus beprokem akoybin b'sefer zeh. If you really think about the chapters that came before this, hakshurim b'inyan zeh, that are connected with this, what do you mean? Also cryptic. The Rambam says now I'm supposed to think about, contemplate the chapters that came before this. Lo timta b'neim shoni klal b'shum prat mipirtei hametzias. You're not going to find any difference, any distinction. Ela b'mash yivhanu sheladatam ha'olam kodum ladatenu humachudash. Right? We're not going to find any distinction. Ela that which we have explained, that in their opinion the world is eternal, in our opinion the world is bechudish, was created ex nihilo. Havein zois eifa. Right? What does this mean? Take this to heart. Now the Rambam says you have to contemplate. In other words, if you think about what I'm saying here and reflect upon previous chapters which are connected with this. Now, what's connected with this? Well, clearly, the chapters of creation are connected with this, right? Right? I mean, the Rambam here is connected this with the issues of either eternity versus creation ex nihilo. Now, why should I, when I think about this, why should I reflect more upon the chapters of creation? Right? And it says you won't find any difference, right? Any difference between what I said here and what I said there. Except that which we declared. In their opinion, the world is eternal. In our opinion, the world is ex nihilo. What does this mean? You won't find any difference in what you hear. So I think what the Rambam is saying is very, very clear. If you reflect very deeply upon the chapters of creation, you'll come to the conclusion which we came to in the series of creation, that in fact, after the Rambam did not find that there is a contradiction between creation ex nihilo, the eternity of the world. And that which we proclaim, that in their opinion the world is eternal, in our opinion the world is created ex nihilo, there's no real conflict. In other words, there is a real conflict. It depends from what aspect I'm looking at it. So what the Rambam says is that if you think very deeply about what I spoke about in those previous chapters, if you understood it properly, that there's no conflict, that actually we have to assume, and that we have to adopt both points of view, then there shouldn't be any difficulty in understanding what I'm presenting here. Namely, that the entire purpose, the specific purpose of the world, right, can be resolved in the same way as resolved the creation ex nihilo of the world and the eternity of the world. In other words, said the Rambam, think deeply the way you learned those chapters, the way you learned the chapters, then we'll understand this chapter. Dazes Eiffel. Think about it, says the Rambam. Okay. Baruch Hashem, we have things to think about. And with this, we end chapter 25. I think it's very important to note that it's nice to read this and see that, you know, the way and the conclusion that we drew out of the previous lectures on the different parts of the Mordavuchim actually fit in very, very nicely. What the Rambam says here, this adds a little bit of in other words, it in a certain sense is it comes out that our readings, right, are borne out, at least to make sense more and are reified more as we understand what the Rambam says over here too. Yeah.
For those who just woke up now at the end of the tape, could the Rav give a one sentence summary of chapter 25? What's the Ikka Nekuda the Rambam is saying over here?
For those who woke up. There's a symphony of Haydn called the Surprise Symphony. The Ikka Nekuda, the Ikka point that Rambam is saying is that our belief in creation ex nihilo does not contradict the fact that God created the world based upon a rational basis. And because of that, we necessarily have to understand that every act of creation, right, has a rationale behind it. Otherwise, you make God into a grand cosmic idiot. And as a result of this, right, the consequence will be that we've laid the foundations for understanding that the mitzvahs, the commandments the commandments have a rational basis. That, in fact, is the true expression and the revelation of Teiras Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is about what we're going to do for the rest of the Moreh Nevuchim. And with that, we will conclude the Sefer. Be well. From an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, until next week, Kol Tov.